In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. The word of God that is the basis for our meditation this morning is the gospel reading from John chapter 10 that was read a few minutes ago. It is exceedingly comforting that here Christ is called a shepherd. For in this one little word, all the beautiful and comforting things that may be said about God have been concentrated. This word has a cordial sound and immediately communicates to the godly when they hear or read it confidence, consolation, and security. Therefore, this image is one of the loveliest and most consoling in all the scriptures. And so the reformer Martin Luther writes in his commentary on the 23rd Psalm. And in order that we might indeed have such confidence, consolation, and security in this picture, let us direct our thoughts to today's gospel reading, wherein our risen Lord unfolds for us what being a sheep of the Good Shepherd means. Now, in the first place, when Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," he is, of course, taking us back to the Old Testament, to the many references to God as the shepherd of his people, to the confession of the shepherd king of Israel, King David, in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," or to what we sing in the office of Matins from Psalm 95, "O come, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Yes, the Good Shepherd, the one of whom we thus read in Genesis, "And God made all the livestock according to their kinds, including," yes, "sheep, including you and me and all people." And since he is the shepherd, he is the one who thus owns the sheep. We, you see, belong to him, not to ourselves. There is no such thing as wild, independent sheep. After all, as the psalmist again said, "We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Now, from what I've read, sheep are rather helpless, defenseless, yes, stupid animals. They have no sense of direction and easily get lost. They have no sharp fangs or claws with which to protect themselves from wild animals. They have poor eyesight and can easily fall over a cliff or down a steep riverbank. And by confessing with the psalmist that the Lord is my shepherd and that we are the sheep of his pasture, what we are also, you see, thereby confessing and admitting is that, as the prophet Isaiah puts it, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Yes, straying, wandering, helpless, defenseless sheep. That is what we are like by nature. And yet, at the same time, still sheep of the Good Shepherd, still sheep who have been created by the Lord, still sheep who belong to him. And that brings us to our second point, namely, to be sheep of the Good Shepherd means that he is the one who rescues us from our straying, wandering ways, who saves us from the wild animals that would devour us. And so Jesus continues, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." And here Jesus, you see, is of course referring to his own death on the cross for us sinners. But then as we think about this picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep, there's something even more profound in all this. For you see, if a shepherd were to simply give up his life in defense of his sheep, losing his life to the vicious attacks of wild animals that are seeking to devour his flock, such a sacrifice would ultimately be good for nothing. After all, there would then be no shepherd left to defend the sheep, and they would become easy pickings for the wolves. And so when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What he is saying is that he does this on behalf of the sheep, in place of the sheep, in their stead. That he dies so that the sheep do not have to die. But how exactly does Jesus do that? How can our good shepherd do this? Take our place as our sheep. Why? Because you see, as we heard back at Christmas, Mary had a little lamb because he became a sheep himself, became one of us. And so St. Paul declares, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Or as John the Baptist exclaims, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or St. Peter writes, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Now in the third place then, as sheep of the good shepherd, we are assured that he thus continues to care for us. And so Jesus adds, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And not only, you see, did our good shepherd lay down his life for us, but he also took it up from the grave, rose from the dead, so that he might continue to care for his sheep whom he has made and redeemed. And it is by virtue of his resurrection from the dead that our good shepherd is now always with us, guiding us through the valley of the shadow of death, feeding us with green pastures and still water, guarding us from all harm and danger from the thieves and robbers and false shepherds and hired hands and wolves who threaten the sheep both from within and from without. And how can you be sure that our good shepherd will lead and guide, protect, defend, feed, and comfort you, insignificant sheep that you are? Well, because in the fourth place, he knows us. As he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now, in biblical times, a shepherd would know the sheep of his flock. He would keep track of each sheep that was feeble, unable to travel quickly over the Judean hills, of each sheep that was sick or that was about to give birth. And while to a casual observer like myself, where, you know, one sheep looks pretty much like any other sheep, the good shepherd knows each one of us individually. He knows us by name. He knows our deepest needs even better than we do ourselves. He knows of our doubts and our fears, our sorrow and pain. Yes, our good shepherd knows his sheep, so that even when our prayer requests are often nothing more than the bleatings of sheep, he hears and knows what we need. He knows not only because he is the all-knowing creator, but because he himself experienced our suffering and pain. Because, as the prophet Isaiah puts it, like a lamb that is led to a slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Well, in the fifth place, then, to be a sheep of the good shepherd means that regardless of who we are, regardless of our economic or social status, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of where we live or what we do for a living, we are now all part of one flock, as Jesus continues. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, who exactly belongs to God's flock? What kind of sheep? Merino, Dorset, Lincoln, Dorper, black sheep, white sheep, rams, ewes, lambs, apostles, prophets, Jews, Gentiles, Arabs, Canadians, black, white, young, old, male, female. Yes, all of the above. For the good shepherd, you see, gathers unto himself as one flock, sheep from every nation on earth, from every generation. Sheep just like you and like me and all, who have been baptized into his holy name, who believe in and confess his name. The name, as St. Peter says in today's first reading, that alone is given among men whereby we must be saved. When the sixth and final place then, just how does the good shepherd bring sheep into his fold? How does he guard and protect his sheep from the vicious attacks of the wolves? What exactly are these green pastures and still waters by which we are fed and nourished by the good shepherd? Why, quite simply, his holy word. And listen again to what he said. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, although sheep are rather timid creatures, although they have poor eyesight, although they are not fleet of foot, although they have no sharp claws or teeth with which to defend themselves, they do have one thing going for it, an acute sense of hearing. And in this picture of sheep and their shepherd, we are thus reminded that our relationship with God is based upon, is predicated by that word, hearing. And so, for instance, St. Paul writes, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Whereas our good shepherd himself said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And again, he who belongs to God hears what God said. And further, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And this, my fellow lambs and sheep, is, when all is said and done, what it means to be sheep of the good shepherd. Sheep who listen not to the voice of society, not to the voice of political correctness, not even to the voice of your own thoughts and feelings, but rather to his voice alone. Sheep who are protected and defended from the false prophets and false teachers who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, protected by the rod and staff of the word of Christ. Sheep whose souls are nourished and fed by the green pastures and still waters of the word of God. In short, sheep who simply listen to, who follow the voice of the good shepherd. And once there was a traveler to the country of Syria who happened upon three shepherds at a well. He wondered how their flocks could be correctly separated after all the sheep had finished quenching their thirst. And then one of the shepherds stood up and called out in Arabic, Menha, which means follow me. And to the amazement of the traveler, about a third of the sheep immediately left the well and followed the shepherd up the hillside. And then the second shepherd gave the same cry, and his sheep followed him, while the rest of the sheep remained there at the well, unconcerned, as if no one had even spoken. And this lovely, delightful picture, so Luther puts it in a sermon on our text, you can see for yourself among sheep. When a stranger calls, whistles, coaxes, come sheep, it runs and flees. And the more you call, the more it runs away, as if a wolf were after it, for it knows not the strange voice. But when the shepherd makes himself heard just a little, they all run to him, for they know his voice. And this is how all true Christians should do. Hear no voice but the voice of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The voice which says to sheep like you and like me this day, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen.